League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Okay, question, Del. Is water polo the hardest sport in the world? I don't think...
Just the physical task of playing it?
I mean, just keeping yourself afloat, the swimming back and forth, it's physical, too, by the way.
Yeah, when they do those underwater shots and all the physicality that's going
How
on.
In the
heck? It looks just tiring.
I'm not doing it.
Constant movement.
I've decided against trying out for the
Oh, team. Well, that's something we didn't know was coming today. You have decided to retire from water polo before it even starts?
Those dudes are, holy crap. Talk about, just missed a free kick.
There's no kicks.
Well, whatever. Free throw. It's not a free throw.
It's probably not called
penalty.
That either.
Penalty throw.
Possibly. I don't know the terminology.
Dumbass hit the pole.
Hey.
Well.
Hey. Some respect to one of our Olympians.
You know what? Make the shot.
You just told the world how difficult you found it to play, and now you're taking a shot at a guy for missing?
Oh, my God. Just got tackled in the water. Oh, it's saved by the bad guys. Is that South Africa?
South Africa.
It's South Africa. We talked to Billy Lucci. Was it last week or the week before? I think it was last week.
Last week.
We talked to Billy about, the NIL, and he got involved and Texas and whatnot. And we talked a little bit about the quarterback thing. The 33rd team put out that the start number one battle – position battle in the SEC is the Texas A&M starting quarterback, Haynes King. Dude, King is a unique athlete at the quarterback position with impressive high school testing numbers, a 4.5 40, 4.02 shuttle, and a 36.90 vertical. A true dual threat. He's up against Zach Calzada, a tall pro-style quarterback with a strong arm and the ability to make all the throws from the pocket. Which do you think Jimbo's going to covet more?
Well, we see Jimbo's had both. I mean,
well, how successful was he with DeAndre as opposed to Jameis, the pro style quarterback?
Well, sure, but one was good enough to be first overall. DeAndre flamed out because of whatever he did. I think he hit a woman in a club.
Yeah.
I think that was the end of his Florida State career. I mean, he's had Christian Ponder, who was a movement guy. I mean, Jimbo wasn't a read option stuff guy, moved the quarterback back then. He sprinkled some of that in, but Christian Ponder was a guy who could move a little bit, whereas E.J. Manuel.
Yeah, but he was a pocket quarterback.
But he moved them around. I mean, and he.
Jamarcus?
Well, these are guys, yes. I mean, but that's he's an OC, and that's who they recruited at LSU. He has had, most of his quarterbacks have been in the pocket guy because that's his offense. I do think, but he went with Kellen Mond, and Kellen Mond can move. Now, he didn't do all
he
that.
He didn't, though.
He didn't. I know he can, but Jimbo's offense doesn't really work that in. There'll be some sweeps, some speed option stuff, but it's not, you don't see a lot of quarterback power with Jimbo. It's just not what he does. I think Jimbo will mold that system. Actually, I think he'll mold the quarterback around the system. Hey, Haynes King, you're better than him, but you're still going to do what I want you to do.
Yeah, but why don't you we'll see at any point if Haynes King is the guy, will Jimbo go to Zach Calzada because he is more of a thrower, and that's what Jimbo covets.
Is Haynes King not, I know he's a dual threat, but is it the old school dual threat where he couldn't throw the football, or is he just, or is he
well, he threw
able to
three
move?
Passes last year. Well, he got to know.
We one. Don't know anything, right?
Yeah,
so I don't know if he can be a guy who stands in the pocket and throws it. You can't play for Jimbo unless you can do that.
Is
so why would he have recruited him if he couldn't do that?
Is there any do we expect the Aggies to fall off this year? Because
I think they'll still rely on what they relied on last year. I think if they're going to fall off,
Kellen Mond, they depended mightily on Kellen Mond. And when you lose a veteran like
that, they depended on a running game, much like how the Cleveland Browns depend on Baker, but they depend on Baker to play off the running game. Kellen Mond played off the passing, the running game. And the question is, for the Aggies, can they get better production? Because that's where they take the next step. But I would have a bigger concern about the offensive line changes. They lost guys from that line. That would be my big concern going forward. But if the Aggies want to take the next step in becoming who they believe they can become, they're going to need improved quarterback and wide receiver play.
Apparently, LSU's starting quarterback position, Miles Brennan is still at LSU.
Yeah, and you know, Ogeron said he has two championship level quarterbacks.
Did he?
Yes. I mean, he may have said, I want to go to Raising Cane's. No one can understand him, but that's what was transcribed. He has two championship level quarterbacks.
Are you, though?
That's what he said.
Well, Brennan got hurt last year. TJ Finley came in, but he transferred to Auburn. And Max Johnson, the lefty, Brad Johnson's son, right?
Correct.
Yeah. He got in there.
Who beat Florida last year? Besides Marco Wilson throwing the shoe. Wasn't Max Johnson the quarterback for that one?
I think Max Johnson was the quarterback for that one.
Yeah. So he gave, and then they close it out, I think, by beating Ole Miss. So he likes the way Max Johnson finished, and now he'll give he and Max Brennan. Is it, what's his first name again?
Miles
Brennan, a chance to compete. I mean, congratulations to the LSU quarterback winner.
The other position battles, wide receiver one for Georgia, which it doesn't matter who wins wide receiver one because there's a wide receiver two, three, four that all can get in the game. Wide receiver one for Florida, they like Jacob Copeland to win that. Eric Gilbert at Georgia, and then Mike linebacker for Alabama, Henry Tutu.
Henry Toto.
Same thing.
Okay. He transferred from Tennessee. Tennessee is a place a lot of guys have left to go play for better teams. Look at Oklahoma's
roster.
Isn't
that funny? You're at Tennessee and you want out and to go start at Alabama? Shouldn't it be the other way around?
Well, apparently Alabama had some holes there, and Toto in his freshman year was a really good player. 2020, blame it on COVID, blaming on the upheaval at Tennessee. He wasn't as good, but still a good player. And Alabama had a hole. You know what Alabama does? Hey, you want to go and play here?
Yeah.
You're a good player for another team? You can go and play for us. And that's just how it'll be. People think, I know you talk about the transfer portal and what it can mean for a player who's not getting time at a place like Alabama. Well, they're on some occasions, in Toto's case, there's a player who doesn't want to stay in a bad situation, so he leaves and he goes to Alabama. And there's also a time where a place like at Ohio State, where they are so stacked in a wide receiver room, one of their guys can't get time, so he transfers to Bama and he'll probably start. Alabama will still take really good players and get him out of the transfer portal.
It's funny. It'll be interesting to see if Alabama, there's programs that aren't recruiting any freshmen anymore, any seniors, high school kids anymore.
There was one program, I forgot who it was, who had a small class of freshmen and pretty much filled it up entirely with transfer portal kids. I forgot. They were a smaller program. I have to look it up. Well, I even think Texas State was in that game, too.
I just talked to Jake the other day. I saw Jake. Jake was in town. I saw him. I go, dude, how many freshmen? He goes, we ain't doing that. You know what? I got kids that were freshmen last year that didn't use up their red shirt that can play 4 years for me. They can play immediately now. They come from a bigger school. Why do I need high school seniors? And oh, by the way, I got to win now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, if you are a person with 5 years of leeway, you can build the way you'd like with freshmen if you so choose. But if you need to rack some wins up, it's pretty much going JUCO without having to go JUCO.
Yeah. He said they picked up a JUCO kid, but for the most part, they filled up their class with transfers.
How did Bill Snyder build his teams at K-State? JUCO players who are ready to play. You just do it now with guys who've been in a college program for a year, and the only reason they're looking at you is because they want playing time, not because they got kicked out.
How does Sonny Dykes get SMU to play well right away? He picked up all transfer guys.
Yeah, I mean,
transfer portals.
He's was it Garrett Gilbert? Was Garrett Gilbert the quarterback who he got? No, Shane Buechele. Shane Buechele.
Same thing. Backup Texas quarterback.
Yeah, and he went there, and with that offense, elevated them to a place where they were competing for conference titles.
Yeah,
for a guy that Texas couldn't play because they wanted to, because Sam Ellinger beat him out. That's how you can kind of win early.
Yeah, well, get that quarterback position right.
Yeah, and that's fading back to, or transitioning back to A&M. That is Jimbo's biggest task. Find a guy who elevates your entire program, and then we can start talking about them in that Alabama, Ohio State realm. But he needs to find that guy. Kellerman was a nice bridge. Hopefully you have a guy on the other side who takes you to another level.
Well, Haynes King is supposed to be, I don't know, he didn't look like all that much when he got in last year, but it was so short. But I was like, that's the future quarterback of Texas A&M? But he's a dual threat guy. We'll see. We'll see whether or not he is going to be the guy.
He looks
or Zach Calzada.
He looks kind of like Case McCoy.
He does. That's why I was like, really? This is the guy?
Well, didn't work out for Case.
Yeah. And his name's Haynes King. He should be look more athletic than he does.
What?
That's all I'm saying.
What do you mean?
It's kind of like a Major Applewhite deal. You don't look like your name sounds.
I'm looking at his high school evaluation, and I think someone didn't try very hard. It's Gabe Brooks. He's a recruiting analyst for that part of the country. Just compared him to Ryan Tannehill.
Really? What?
You need to pick another A&M quarterback to compare him to.
Ryan Tannehill.
The guy who was athletic enough to play wide receiver there and actually start at wide receiver.
Yeah, I
would just say.
I think Case McCoy is a good one.
No, he looks like him. I don't know if he'll play like him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But you don't look like Haynes King.
What does Haynes King look like?
Haynes King don't look like Haynes King.
I'm going to just Google Haynes and see how many guys look the way I think
like
you
cool
look like.
Name.
Well, we'll see how he plays.
Yeah. 1012 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You want to hang with us here on the show. Right now, though, I want to talk about if you've got issues whatsoever, whatever your issues are in the boudoir, kick them to the curb. And you can do that right now. Not everybody's perfect. You're not always going to be perfect. But if you want a little help, a little boost, you want to keep your sex life alive, keep your wife interested or whomever it is, whatever the case may be, all you got to do is go to GetRoman.com/John. GetRoman.com/John. Don't let your marriage slip away because, you're having any kind of ED problem, because you don't have to have it anymore. And, oh, by the way, it's a U.S. licensed healthcare professional. It is discreet. It's straightforward. You don't have to leave your home. It's done all over your laptop. GetRoman.com/John. Complete an online visit. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. And you complete this visit today and connect with a doctor and take care of this ED. It's so simple. GetRoman.com/John. Right now, get there. Get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. Don't have to live with ED anymore. Not with GetRoman.com/John.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
I said earlier, if you kept listening, you would have the chance to win something, and now here's your chance. But listen, I need you to listen to the instructions, because there's a bit you have to work out. Lagoon Fest, we've been doing that all summer, so I'm going to give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets. There are 2 4-packs to give away. It's a Friday and a Saturday show. With those 4-packs, you and 3 friends also win an afternoon pass to the Lagoon. You can come early and take a dip in the Lagoon for the concert. Lagoon Fest Texas is the largest lagoon in Texas, located in Texas City. The summer concert series is kicking off, so keep listening to win tickets to other shows all summer long. See a list of live concerts and tickets now at LagoonFestTexas.com. So you have Texas Flood on Saturday and The Hunger on Friday. Callers 8 and 9 will be the winners. Caller 8 will get his or her choice of which show to go to, the Friday or the Saturday show. Caller 8 and 9 can call in right now. But remember, caller 8 gets their choice. Caller 9, you have to, bear with it. Friday and Saturday, make sure you can go to either day. Call in. Lagoon Fest, Texas, in Texas City.
Okay, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Apparently, the letter here, the letter from Oklahoma and Texas, the official letter is out, the one that they are asking the SEC to join them. George Klyavkov says this. I want to be 100% clear that going forward, the Pac-12 will make all its decisions in football with optimizing playoff appearances and winning national championships in mind. Says Stuart Mandel, the Larry Scott parody is good era is over. Klyazkov, I didn't know that was his name. Every football decision is going to be for the Pac-12 is going to be optimizing their playoff position, which is good for them because, I think Larry Scott dropped the ball as the commissioner of the Pac-12. I think not being as assertive as he should have been, defending his conference and their play, or not leading the conference to bigger games that would have more national playoff impact. The Pac-12 has been about as passive as you could possibly be.
Yeah, we remember those times where we would get LSU versus Oregon. Now it didn't go well for Oregon, but, they would be in some prominent games now, and they played Auburn a couple of years ago. Oregon did again. And even USC-Bama, those type of games were the games that kicked off the year. Unfortunately, the Pac-12 would get embarrassed in those, and I guess they stopped scheduling them. But, even the Pac-12 people have said he was asleep at the wheel. He did a bad TV deal. They didn't even like where they decided to put the conference offices because it just killed them financially, and they were asking, why are you putting it in Silicon Valley in the San Francisco area? You know how expensive that is. So there have been a lot of issues with how he ran that place.
Yeah. Klyavkov says, we do not believe expansion is required to continue to compete and thrive, but the fallout gives us an opportunity to consider expansion, and we've already had significant inbound interest from many schools. And I would hope that the University of Houston is one of them. With Texas now in the SEC, because I would imagine that the Pac-12 was, holding out hope that Texas and OU would join the Pac-12 and strengthen that conference. And Texas brings the Houston market. Texas brings the Fort Worth and Dallas market. Texas A&M already in the SEC. How are you going to get, what's the biggest market left that is attractive to the Pac-12? Boise, Idaho?
I don't know.
Is it Dallas-Fort Worth with TCU and SMU?
Well,
or is it Houston?
Well, if they're completely against religious schools, then you can just remove TCU from the equation.
I mean, University of Houston, to me, would be very attractive now because you're not getting Texas. Texas would have balked at University of Houston being in there, and Texas could have brought Houston itself. Texas didn't – Pac-12 didn't need Houston if you had Texas. But Texas is gone now. Texas is going to the SEC. And so University of Houston makes a lot of sense. And then some, you don't need markets. Yeah, you still do. You still want big television markets. Yes.
If you are negotiating a new deal, like the ACC, people keep bringing up West Virginia. West Virginia doesn't add value to the current deal that's signed through for the next 20 years or so. In fact, you start divvying up the pie, and West Virginia is actually going to start taking a cut from these schools already represented, whereas Notre Dame would add value. Maybe you get to renegotiate with Notre Dame in tow. No, the ACC, ESPN's like, oh, West Virginia's coming. We're not going to renegotiate for that. But as far as the Pac-12, you bring it, if you can get Texas or in Houston, that helps your TV deal.
Yeah.
I don't know who else you'd grab.
Well, their media rights come up in 2024, and Kliavkov believes that the Pac-12 will become more valuable if there is further consolidation of conferences. Yeah, a 16 as opposed to your 12-team conference right now.
Yeah, I've seen people...
Which isn't drawing a lot of eyes.
I've seen people push back against the 16 specifically because if you're not adding the right teams, particularly if all the major brands are gone, why are you cutting up a piece of your current pie for a team who doesn't add value just to get to 16? Like, you have to be very careful about who you add, or you're just lessening what you're going to get. Because what's appealing about picking up the Kansas State Wildcats for a TV deal?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Iowa
State.
Yeah, so that's the problem for those
schools.
Even
Baylor.
So the whole 16 major conferencing is a thing, I guess, in some thoughts for some people. But if you're a conference, you got to figure, am I bringing Kansas basketball helps? But Kansas State doesn't bring anything to the table as far as the money you might receive for a new deal. So I don't know if we're going to, I think those teams are going to get left out possibly, unless state legislatures, if you're attached to Kansas, Kansas State has to come. Why would the Big Ten want Kansas State if they're getting Kansas?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen to those teams.
Do you think the Pac-12, he says, Kliavkov says there isn't any risk staying at 12 teams. Is there any chance that the Pac-12 loses a team? Is there any chance that it falls apart like the Big 12 did?
Well, initially when all this stuff was going on, SEC, Oklahoma, Texas, there were rumors, or certainly some people were thinking that could the Big Ten go grab a couple of the prominent Pac-12 schools since they already have a connection because of the Rose Bowl and go, hey, let's make a super conference with USC, Oregon, Washington, and maybe UCLA or something. And then go, and so that's, you grab those four. And then you say, hey, we can do some Big Ten, Pac-12 tie-in games or however they want to do it. Maybe merge. Maybe grab a couple more to merge. And that would be it. Maybe grab Arizona. The Arizona schools, the Southern California schools, and then the Oregon school, the one Oregon school, one Washington school, make a mega conference and do it that way. And then the Pac-12 does break apart.
Yeah. The official statement by Greg Sankey, the University of Oklahoma and the University of Texas, two esteemed academic institutions with storied athletic programs, today submitted formal requests for invitations. So apparently I know that there were overtures from the Big Ten towards Texas. Texas said, nah, we're going to the SEC. While the SEC has not proactively sought new members, we will pursue significant change when there is a clear consensus among our members that such actions will further enrich the experiences of our student athletes and lead to greater academic and athletic achievement, blah, blah, blah.
In other words, there's some legalese involved before we formally accept this.
The presidents and chancellors of the SEC, in their capacity as the conference's chief executive officers, will consider these requests in the near future. Per the bylaws of the SEC, a vote of at least 3/4 of the SEC's 14 members is required to extend an invitation for membership. Does Texas A&M play along, or do they still vote no?
I think they're going to vote yes. I don't think they're going to fight this, because if they don't have the votes, what's the point? Who are you putting up a show for? Your fans? Is that what you're doing it for? You're going to go against the rest of the conference to make your fans happy at this point? It's over.
It's over.
It's cooked. Just
well, go. But you know what? The fan base would still probably want to see him vote no.
We'll see. It's a president's decision. Now, Ross Bjork can be the face of this sucks. The president, like, how much money's coming in?
How about this week? How about that they didn't know a thing last week? They didn't know
And this is the pushback. You know, we had SEC sources come out and go, no, A&M was aware. SEC sources were telling some ESPN people they're aware, while other ones were telling SEC sources they weren't aware. I tend to agree with that first report because it's funnier. It's funnier if they didn't know.
They didn't know. There's no way they knew. Which Longhorn is this, Scott or Keith?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Let's play the game.
Let's play the game.
Which Longhorn are we talking to? Longhorn is it?
What's happening, guys? It's Longhorn Keith.
Oh, the good hey, one. Keith. Thanks.
Hey, man, real quick. John, you had a great... That was a great point you made in regards to... in regards to Texas going into the SEC and how the Pac-12 should probably look at Houston and look at University of Houston and captain the rest of its market. But I think something that is missing, and I don't know if you guys touched on this, but one of the biggest things to watch out for here is, you know, Bob Boldy has been sitting on his laurels for years, and I can't remember if it was 2012, maybe 13, when the issue of expanding the Big 12, and he just kind of stepped back and did not even, or at least from reports, right, he never came out and really went after a big player that he could add that would possibly keep Texas and OU in the conference simply because it would allow for a little bit more media exposure. And so I think, you know, for Texas and OU, this is a decision of, Bob Boldly, you basically done nothing as the president of this league except for, obviously, fatten our pockets. But at the end of the day, the league is not going anywhere, and recruits are seeing this, and media is seeing this. Our deals aren't getting any bigger. Again, selfishly, both of these schools have benefited from the league. However, the league itself, because of Bob Boldly's lack of leadership, has not taken on a new dynamic. And I think if any other league presidents were wise, they would look at this and go, we've got to be smarter about being aggressive towards the teams that's going to bring us the revenue that we need, especially the revenue share, and more importantly, increasing to go to a power conference or a superpower conference. We're going to have to look at what teams and what markets will allow us to do that. And I think you're right, John. I think the Pac-12 is the best answer. And the last thing I'll say that is, we were talking earlier, the report came out, once this came out, that Texas and OU would have to pay, you know, somewhere between $76 and $80 million to get out before 2025. Hey, guys, I'm here to tell you, I don't think that the league will survive past this year. I don't think the Big 12, I think it'll dissolve after this year because he's got to move quickly. And the time that they've given him to do that, I just don't see them adding any other teams significantly that would make me say, okay, I want to jump into the Big 12 now. I just don't see that happening.
No, no. And you know what? The Pac-12 thinking they can sit and just sit with 12 teams and not try to improve the league. And you're right, the Big 12 sitting on its hands with 10 teams all this time instead of trying to add some big name or do something to bolster the league. 10 was, it was weak. It has been weak. It has been, you know, basically inconsequential. If OU has gotten there four times, but, and they're 0 for 4 in the playoffs, 0 for 4. It's basically been OU and nothing else in that league. And now, no, I think the league just falls apart. I don't think like a Cincinnati, a Houston, a Central Florida, a Boise. I don't think you could save this league.
Yeah, there's nothing other than the Big 12 acknowledging that they're no longer part of that Power 5 or whatever it'll be, Power 4 conversation, will keep the Big 12 alive. Like if they decide, you know what, hey, we're a lesser conference, we'll try to figure it out. Then maybe it hangs around. But the teams that believe that they could probably find their way into the Big Ten or the Pac-12 aren't gonna want to hear that. So unless you want to become a centralized version, a Texas version of the AAC, when you add a Houston or an SMU, but why would those teams leave at this point if Oklahoma State's gone, and Texas Tech is looking for a spot? Like you become some fake great good value version of the Southwest Conference at that point. Because you would probably add Houston and SMU, but it wouldn't even be the Big 12 anymore.
No, when if the Big 12 adds on Cincinnati and Central Florida and Houston and what, It's a group of six school now.
Yeah,
it's a group of six conference now.
So I don't
and it's Power Four.
I don't know how the legal stuff will work out, because if a conference breaks up, does the teams who caused that breakup still have to dole out the cash? I don't know how it works to leave. I imagine there's something written someplace where they're still going to have to, you know, pay the Big 12 and the teams that still remain. But I think we're done. That the Big 12 was done for.
Right. Well, right. And do you want to add teams that are going to? Well, I think the agreement would be you don't get any of that Texas and Oklahoma money for them escaping.
No.
You're not going to get any of that. But yeah, so you can make that agreement. And oh, by the way, you're not getting any Big 12 revenues for the first however many years you're in it.
Yeah, I just wonder how conferences like the Pac-12 could have helped themselves. I mean, you could negotiate a better TV deal. Maybe you don't do one with Fox, but I don't know that when USC's not cooking and Oregon's trying to build back up, how attractive would you have been to a conference, to a television network for a big deal? So sure, Larry Scott didn't do great. Didn't put the Pac-12 in the best light, but the teams have some responsibilities for that too.
Oh, yeah.
If USC was great, and that deal would be different, because USC can carry a conference just like Clemson's carrying the ACC right now. Now they have some big markets in Miami, and even though they haven't been great, people just like to watch them lose if it comes to that. But if USC ain't good, what are you going to do?
Well, Clemson has certainly carried that deal. There's no question about that. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, still ahead, news of the weird is coming your way. You don't want to miss this, that's for sure. But I want to talk to you right now about my man Keith Tate over at Hoop Sporting Goals and Equipment. Just, it's so good. It's the best product that you'll ever see in baskets. This is not even arguable. If you're looking for the best way to get that basket for your kids, your wife will love it because of the curb appeal. You will love it because the kids will play outside. The kids will love it because you get to lower the goal. They get to dunk. They get to actually reach the goal, especially if they're smaller. You know, you got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds. They're still having a hard time reaching that 10-foot basket. Lower it. But let them play. When you go to the website, what everybody's doing, every picture is of kids dunking. And those kids wouldn't be able to dunk other than that. Let your kids have fun. They will play on it as opposed to being inside playing on their PlayStation. Let them get outside and enjoy the best basket in the world. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Who is this? I love it. This Australian swimmer, Kaylee McEwen. Olympic gold medalist. Like, we can't play it because apparently while she was being interviewed, talk about winning your gold medal, she said, F yeah.
Yeah, what do you have to say to your family about winning? She was like, sleep, yeah.
F yeah.
She, oh, sorry.
Oops. Oops.
Apparently, some of that stuff has happened on the Australian broadcasts quite a bit. Like, that stuff is slipping through a little bit more than it certainly would on NBC because, you know, it's all tape delayed, at least on NBC if you're watching it. But the Australian broadcast, I think, is the way to go if I could find it.
You've got to find it. Yeah, it's just going to be awesome anyway. It's going to be awesome. So, wow, Clay Travis brings this up and, you know, I don't know what his motivation is, but
grifting,
grifting. Yeah, he says Simone Biles withdraws from the competition, the team competition, because of mental issues. Correct. While Carrie Strug can't even walk, and she lands her vault, and the team wins gold.
Mm-hmm.
while Simone bows out and her team wins silver. Is this a Scottie Pippen moment for Simone Biles?
Well, the thing we have to start judging if the mental issue is really a thing or she faking it because she didn't do well. These are the things the uninformed have to decide on. Until we find out that she was upset with something involving a teammate, then it isn't the Scottie Pippen thing. Now we can get into, do we believe it's a valid reason? But it's not like Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was just mad because he didn't get a shot.
By Scottie Pippen, I don't mean that she did it in any, but it's something that will forever haunt her career.
I don't think it will. I don't think this particular moment, maybe let's say, you want to say she came up small and, well, however you want to describe it. I think she is so celebrated because of her past accomplishments.
It's rather surprising, though, that someone who is as accomplished as she is and has competed at the highest level with as much pressure as she's been under would fold to that pressure.
Yeah. I mean, I think mental health can be a moving target. Like, you're not always right all the time. And I don't know what's going on. We don't know if Simone Biles had something she was dealing with coming in that just doesn't get reported because, you know, she doesn't want that out there. It's just very hard for me to be like, yeah, she's not, this is fake or she's cowering the pressure, because I don't even know what the mental issue is. It's a coach who said it's not an injury, it's a mental issue. What does that even mean, mental issue?
It's funny. Now we've got Paul George, we've got Naomi Osaka, we've got Simone Biles. Is it mental issues, or is it that they let pressure get to them?
Well,
is that what mental issue is now? That the extreme pressure has caused you to not be able to perform?
Well, the one difference is Paul George is the one who didn't bow out from something. Now, he didn't play well. Kawhi was pretty bad too in that series, but he played. He stuck. Now, Simone Biles did not compete. Naomi Osaka initially didn't want to talk. Now, then she actually backed out of major tournaments because of it. I don't know. Paul George said all the stuff being said about him because of his poor play bothered him. So he was getting it because of his poor play, and that's what set him back mentally, I guess. Naomi Osaka wasn't getting criticized for playing poorly, right? The thought was, if things went poorly, she didn't want to talk to people afterwards.
Right, and she was being reminded of how
poorly she played.
But
it wasn't causing her to play poorly. Paul George, it caused him to play poorly. Who was talking about Simone Biles in a negative way? No one, right?
No.
So I don't know what this is.
But apparently it's the pressure has mounted. She said after...
Weight of the world.
Yeah, the weight of the world is on her shoulders. Which, that happens...
Well, remember,
every major sporting event.
But she, Art's pointing out that she had the GOAT thing on her uniform. Like, she has leaned into, I'm the best, watch me.
The interview with, and I don't know her name, she's on the mornings with Kathy Lee Gifford. She used to be
Hoda.
Yeah.
Is it Hoda? Okay.
Yeah. She, you know, you're the GOAT. Talk about being the GOAT. And she just was like smiling and, yeah, you know, I'm the GOAT. And then this ain't what the GOAT does, Simone.
Yeah. So who knows? I don't know. And we would have to actually find out what the issue is. And then I guess we can make an assessment that way. It's just for her, for it to happen to her, it seems odd. Because she has been the best for a while now, and it didn't matter what was in her way, she was going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, she did. Now she comes back and wins gold in her individuals. Does it cause more questions, or it says, okay, she overcame whatever the problem was? Because if she destroys the competition like we expect her to do, then we're like, what happened on a Tuesday in Japan? What happened? Because you seemed quite all right running through the competition and your individual stuff.
Wow. She's not sure. And I guess in her post meet press conference, she said she's unsure whether she'll compete in Tokyo again.
NBC's got to be freaking the F out. They got to be. Look, it's already a where we can't run. We can run live stuff, but there's no guarantee people watch it. We save a lot of our prime events at night for people to watch on delay. And if Simone Biles isn't available for that, that content goes away. Take one. Yeah. They better hope the U.S. team wakes up too.
I'm not even talking about this CDC thing, Art. Screw you. The CDC urging vaccinated people to resume wearing masks indoors.
And that Delta variant.
In certain circumstances.
What is
as
that?
As Delta variant spreads.
What are the circumstances?
But apparently, isn't the vaccine good against the Delta variant? Only you can still spread it.
But you
well,
won't
then get everybody
sick.
Get a vaccine.
Don't tell people what they can and can't do, John.
Just, okay, your body, your choice. Get a vaccine! Your choice. Go get it.
It is a choice.
It is a choice. Make the choice to go get it. Okay? How's that choice? That's the best choice to me. That's what I'm saying.
Are you telling people what
they
should
do? I'm not
telling
people what to do. Make your own choice by getting the vaccine.
Or
choose to get the vaccine.
Or choose not to, if you so choose.
Well, whatever you choose, make sure it's getting the vaccine. I'm just saying, I'm letting people just make their own decisions.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yes. It does to me.
Unlike big government John, I think you should maintain.
Did you get the vaccine?
Yes, I made
the
choice.
Thank you. You made the right choice.
Okay. That's
your body, your choice.
That's
you made
one
the right
person's
one.
Opinion. I am all about civil liberties and personal freedom. If you so choose to get the vaccine, great. If you don't, great. Unless you play college football, then get it.
Oh, yeah, wait.
That's all I care about.
Wait.
If you do not play college football or you're not around college football players at any point, then do what you so choose. But if you are around them where they could be in protocol situations, then get the vaccine. Because I don't want to wake up on Saturdays and find out a game's not on. That is my thing. That's my pulpit.
Okay, so here's the deal, is I want you to make the choice of going to Lafayette, Louisiana sometime. I'm telling you, you are going to love Lafayette if you haven't been there. If you've never been there, the Cajun culture is unbelievable. The food is second to none. The 7 days a week, you've got music. It's always just fun. The people are awesome. I've lived a lot of places, living in Lafayette, that people could not be more accepting and wonderful. A great place. I would have never left Lafayette if I could have made any money there. I'm telling you right here and now, you will love Lafayette, too. Go for there for the weekend. The average, it's just three and a half hours down I-10. The average hotel room is about $85. You can get it for less. You can get it for more. That's the average one. You're looking for the best, just a great weekend. Make it a long weekend. Go eat. Go to Avery Island to see the Basco. Go to the Chafalaya Basin. You're going to love Lafayette. You will. It's a place you fall in love with. I did. But the best thing is the food. They've got something called Eat Lafayette going on where the restaurants are all participating in discounts for anybody that wants to go there and enjoy their Cajun cuisine. Find out for yourself at LafayetteTravel.com. LafayetteTravel.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the weird. That is kind of weird. So, apparently, Harvard University found a way of reducing your chances of getting prostate cancer, slashed by a third, Dell. How do you think that is?
I don't know, John. Tell me.
Well, it's not a Deshaun thing where you get your prostate checked all the time.
Okay.
All right.
By non-doctors?
By non-doctors. Okay. No, that's not. That's not the way to do it. Apparently, it is having How do I put this? It rhymes with speculate.
Okay.
All right. 21 times a month. That seems like a lot of work.
Well, it depends on how old you are.
Right.
21 times a month when you're 18
is like whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. 21 okay. times a week. And what are we talking about here?
At my age, it just seems like a lot of work.
Now, you don't have to, you said, speculate.
Right.
With the help of someone 21 times.
No, just have to do it.
Yeah. So if you're 30, I mean, even a 30-year-old can, whether you're in with someone or maybe you need to be a single speculator.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could get 21 times done.
Yeah.
In a month.
Yeah, I know, but it just seems like a lot of work even still.
That's true.
I'm busy. I got to golf, play poker.
Yeah, I mean.
Can't be speculating.
What are you, an edger? It takes you hours. What do you go? You could do that in between golf and poker.
Yeah. What? In the bathroom at Prime? No.
I don't know. In your car? I don't know.
No. What? I look like Kellen Winslow? I carry around a tub of Vaseline?
No, it'd be more difficult for you because you're driving at the time.
Oh, it just seems like a lot of work.
Sure. Or you could, you know, have a great prostate. It's up to you.
Yeah. I don't. Well, it's only by a third.
That's pretty big, though. Well, a third?
I guess that's a lot, but I'm just like, by the end, you're spinning cotton, I think.
If you, okay. That's one description. If you get a third, if you get a hit a third of the time you're up to the plate, you're a Hall of Famer.
I'm just a lot.
A third is a big number. Just think about it.
I guess.
Would you rather do it that many times a month or have...
I'd like to, if I'm going to do it that much, I'd like, you know, 100%. There's no chance of me getting it anymore.
If you get a hit a third of the amount of times you're up to bat, you're a Hall of Famer.
And I know. I just don't want to be a... I know, but you get right arms tired.
Well...
It's tired, Del.
Use your left. Pretend it's a stranger.
Oh, no. Walking, stepping out on my right hand.
I've heard. I don't know how much I can say. Like one kid when I was in high school, some kid said if you sit on your hand and make it numb, it's like a stranger's doing it.
Okay.
I was like, well, okay.
A Connecticut landlord is in some trouble, Dal. He allegedly snuck into his tenant's apartment to sniff her underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And the act was caught on camera. What kind of charges do you think should be brought? He didn't steal anything, just sniffing underwear, Del.
But he broke into the house, right?
Yeah, so there's third-degree burglary.
Yeah. What else can you do when you're sniffing someone's clothing?
Ooh, he was rifling through her and her daughter's clothing.
Ooh. Not that it wasn't creepy already.
No, it got creepier now.
So I don't really understand this particular fetish, because if they're in the drawer, he didn't go through the hamper, right? He went into the drawer. So all he's doing is sniffing like Tide or Bounty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, those are clean clothes in that drawer. So what are you sniffing?
Yeah, I don't.
Her laundry detergent.
Yeah.
You can do that at the store, not go to jail.
If there's any...
I don't want to.
If there's any residue still on there, clean it up.
Don't use residue, please.
Bridgeville, Pennsylvania delicatessen, Del, is not exactly in the best graces with the police department. There's a picture of a police car hiding behind a sign at the deli. It's one of those ones where you change the letters, but it's down low. It's on the ground level. And the sign says, slow down. The cop hides behind this sign. And there's the cop hiding behind the sign.
Because it's a business, the police officer can't go, can you change this? Right? It's their personal property. He or she can't do anything about it.
Yeah, no. You know what? The cop was probably like, hey, you're giving away my position here. Is that against the law?
Not if you're hiding behind something I own.
That's right. You're hiding behind my sign. You know what? Find your own damn sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. We did that one. So elsewhere, Apparently, porn site is offering horny Olympians free content if they win a gold medal. Do you want to win a gold medal so that you get free porn content?
No, I'd
strip chat.
No, I'd want to win a gold medal because I put years of my life into it. The free porn content seems like maybe a bonus if I'm into that. But I'm there to do one thing.
I'm there to win a gold medal. And but a little something extra, a little something something.
And frankly, if I'm a gold medal winner and single, I don't think I'm going to really be needing the porn, the free porn. I feel like I got a real shot at doing some stuff.
Well, speaking of which, a 52-year-old Olympian, she says, she's Susan Tedke. Apparently, she's spilling the beans about what actually goes on in the village. She's like, dude, after your event, that's all everybody wants to do.
Yeah. How does it work? Because if people arrive at different times, I guess you can make a decision if you want to hang out
Aren't you hanging?
In the Olympic Village. Yeah, what else I got to do?
Yeah. The athletes are at their physical peak at the Olympics. When the competition is over, they want to release their energy. Man, this is not the first place, but Tokyo, but how many condoms did they pass out? And they said, use them here, but...
Yeah, okay. Don't use them here.
But here's all these condoms.
Okay, you're going to put me in a scenario where I'm at my physical peak, and I'm going to be staring at other people in their physical peaks and the bodies associated with that. Yeah, I'm just going to take the condoms home and go back to Wisconsin or wherever I'm from. Okay, sure.
Whatevs.
Yeah, sure. You mean there's a chance I could meet someone from Estonia and do stuff?
What?
Okay, I'm not taking that back to Madison.
Stop. I'm going right here. Yep. Slovenia looks good. The Slovenia women's water polo team.
Whatever team it is.
10:56, we're done. Charlie Polillo is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.